The next group is on. It's the group about broadcast media. I think it's limited to Laura and Corina. So please join me. And it's all in your hands. But please, we are running out of time, partly because we started late, partly because some of the other groups took too much time. And we do want to give you a good coffee break as well.
Good morning, everybody. And now I acknowledge that probably you won't be able to read, but I will make a comment. Of course, I've lost one of the discs I had with kind of PowerPoint presentation, but anyway. I would just like to start with two of the conclusions that I will say again in the end. Of course, I'm biased, but I do think that we in radio, we do build scientific minds in our own way. And also, I do think that we make, let's say, lifelong learning, yes? It depends on how much you live, but anyway, and when you start. My intention was just to let you know what Radio Romania is doing in terms of science coverage and science radio programs, just to support what I've just said. And I will start by saying that Radio Romania is a national public radio. It was established in 1928 by an engineer, and from the beginning, science was one of the topics covered. It's too much to say a domain. It wasn't the field in itself, but it was covered. And the way Radio Romania worked in the beginning was that very well-known personalities, cultural scientists, artists, were invited to the radio. They gave lectures on one topic, and of course, everything was live at that time. And it was very, very, how to say, enriching and very, very nice. It was wonderful, a wonderful period. Believe it or not, science was also a very strong issue on radio, on the public radio, the only radio we had, also during the communist times, with pluses and minuses, of course, but it was there. And I remember I used to listen on the second channel, Saturday morning science magazine. After our revolution in 1989, so in 2000, things have changed a little bit in terms that the two national channels that we had before became four national channels, actually three and then four. The first channel, which was the, and still is the news channel, the second channel, which now is called Romania Cultural Channel. We had a third channel which was only for the young generation. It was called the youth channel, or Radio 3, Radio 3, and it was a kind of symbol because there they managed to also to broadcast subversive issues for that time. And then a fourth channel appeared. It was only with classic. It is only with classical music. In 2004. In November, some management changes took place, and the third channel disappeared from radio. You can find it now only on the internet. And I don't want to comment if it's good or bad. It was a decision. I felt that I've lost something, but anyway. Now, in 1991, the Science Education Department was established. Then in 1996, another change was, and we became Literature, Arts, and Science Department. In 2000, a Science Department was established, only a Science Department, and I have to say that I was very happy, we were all very happy at that time, because we felt that we are finally something very important. And then in 2004, in autumn, another change occurred, and now the department I'm working in is the Permanent Education Department, including former arts and science department. We do have our radio science radio programs, but we are not anymore an entity. Anyway, what are we doing? So in the former science department, I used to call it still science department, we are 8 producers, specialized, to say so. We all graduated a kind of university. Languages, science, history, engineering. We don't necessarily do the same kind of radio programs on the same kind of topic. But we do have our main radio program, it is called Radio Planet, which is a 45-minute live interactive talk show. It's from Monday to Saturday, and every day it's another field. Starts, like I mentioned here, on Monday, EU issues, because we are preparing to join EU, hopefully. Then on Thursday, science, general science, and information technology and communication. 1 week is science, 1 week is IT and communication. Then on Wednesday, environment. Thursday, medicine, 1 week anthropology. Friday is history, and Saturday is philosophy. And I'm happy to say that we do have very important and prominent personalities invited, not only Romanian. We do also interview and track and invite in the studio foreign scientists, foreign personalities. One of my colleagues, the one who is producing the Friday program on history, had also the well-known former Soviet visitor Kofsky in the studio when he was there, and some other things. Besides radio program, which again is the main radio program, we do have 2 times a week, 10 minutes live radio program, which is called Science News, and this is with short coverages on topics, on issues, but also on conferences. Symposia like this one. And Jan, for example, will be interviewed, and he will be on air, he will be translated. This is the work this is the way we work with foreign guests, like others. I love to mention a special radio program which I'm very fond of, which it is called Nobel Times. That means every October we train Nobel laureates, we call them, we interview them, we air them, and then it comes December when the Stockholm festivity, the Nobel week in Stockholm take place, and I cover from there the whole week, and then there is a 45-minute radio program with Nobel laureates from Stockholm, with everything that is like that. Also, a very recent and a very interesting radio program in science is on science and religion, which was based on science and religion project the Templeton Foundation from UK has, and it was a very interesting a kind of program with very interesting responses from the listeners. And more recently, the International Physics Year, of course. This project is also, again, I think it will be very, very interesting. We track Romanian physicists around the world to debate a kind of topic important in physics, of course linked with what we celebrate. And some of them, they have access to very interesting materials. Many of them are at CERN, so they can, you know, check other interesting things. And last but not least, another interesting project we were involved in is the first one, the Shchirab, which is science in radio broadcasting. This is the ever-produced EU project tracking how science is on air in radio in Europe. We were partners with CISA, with the School for International Studies, Advanced Studies in Trieste, and with Imperial College in London, and the results are very, very interesting. And maybe if we have time, we can talk about this later. Just 2 words, and I will end up this presentation. I'm happy that in a way we are unique, not in what we are doing, but physically, because there is no other science department or science entity in Romania who is doing such things. The science magazine, the number of the science magazine dropped dramatically after the revolution, like in every other Eastern European countries. The public television used to have a science department, has no longer a science department, only, randomly science radio TV programs. The bad thing is that the management is not so, eager to have a science department. They have to have, because they have to have, but we really have to find our way. In terms that we have to find to have an infrastructure, and many of the things we have now were year-long fights to have, internet connection, computers, and something like this. But despite all of this, I'm again happy that we are doing what we are doing, and I really want to say that the scientists' response is amazing. Romanian scientists are very happy to come to speak radio. On the cultural channel, the listeners are 35-40, this is their average, well-educated. We can judge this from the questions they have and the interaction we have with them. And I do have a kind of CD with short fragments from our radio programs. If somebody would like to hear, okay, it would be better later.
Okay, thank you so much, Karina. We are running short of time, as you can appreciate. Laura, you're on.
Okay, this is on, yeah. I work at the Dutch International Broadcasting Station, so it's different from Karina in that we're broadcasting internationally, not to a domestic audience, and we're certainly not unique. There are other international broadcasters broadcasting in English, also about science. At Radio Netherlands, science is covered in four different languages, Dutch as part of news only, in Spanish, mainly on health topics. In Indonesian, they have an environment program and a general science program. And then there's my own program in English, which is a weekly half-hour program with a very flexible format determined largely by content, with covering a broad range of topics. Examples in the past have included everything ranging from a special half-hour edition on Bose-Einstein condensates to a short report on a new alphabet designed for American Sign Language and whether or not ecstasy really damages the brain, things like that. We have a mission statement for our program, which I won't go into in detail, but the key thing is that we try and put science in context, and in doing that, I like to think we're trying to tell stories. That's what I try and remember. And we interview people from all levels of science, people who've just completed their PhD, right up to Nobel laureates or whoever. I wanted to give you some examples from a particular pair of programs that I made because I felt that it set various contexts, historical, geographical, cultural, social, and so on. But unfortunately, I was going to do it through our website, and they've changed our website recently, and this is one of the pages that's fallen victim. So instead, I'm going to play you a short clip from another program that I made last year, it's about 2.5 minutes. and it's just the beginning of a program about coral reefs, and what I want you to just get a sense of is context setting. So I'll just play that.
Disease, bleaching events, and other factors such as global warming and unsustainable fishing practices are all taking their toll. And today, we investigate how these various impacts are exacerbating each other's effects, the scale of the problem, and what can be done to turn the tide. First, though, why should we even care what happens to coral reefs? Here are a few reasons given by the other speakers we'll be hearing today.
Frankly, I don't think a lot of people are really aware of, one, how important coral reefs are. A lot of coral reefs, the geologic structure themselves, protect a lot of shorelines. We know that there are areas that are really important nurseries to a lot of fish that we value. Aesthetically alone, these reefs should be protected. I mean, these are amazingly beautiful, diverse communities. These are the most diverse communities we can find in the ocean. So, for that reason alone, we should really value these systems.
There are various estimates around about what coral reefs are worth to the world. in terms of what we call ecological services provided by reefs, and just excluding fisheries. In many of these coastal countries, the physical barrier provided by reefs is very important. And if the worst outlooks of global climate change, increasing acidity of the water, and overfishing come to fruition, and you will then have a cost of beach restoration, etc., or loss and erosion of land to the seas.
In brute economic terms, the annual income from the world's coral reefs is estimated very conservatively at $30 billion. That's one reason to care about coral reefs right there. If you care about economics, if you care about people, as I do, tens of millions of people at least depend on coral reefs for their livelihood, and coral reefs protect shorelines in the tropics from erosion. So if the coral reefs are gone, that means that where people live is going to be washed into the sea. So those are some hard and fast reasons.
Okay, so that's just a taste of context setting in a very obvious and direct way. In that particular program, we then went on to talk about the basic biology of corals, various threats that they face, explaining that in the context of global warming, pollution, things that you heard about, emerging diseases and so on. Like most of what I produce, I wouldn't say that that was a perfect production. There are many things that could have been better in with that in many ways, but that was one I was reasonably happy with. Reflecting on what's been discussed and how this relates to it, people have mentioned about the role of the media. I would love there to be more science on the media. I would love to be able to do more myself. There's a sad fact, which is we're very limited by resources, especially in radio. It's not a very well-funded medium. There've already been cutbacks in our station, in the science programme itself, and there are going to be further cutbacks in the next couple of years in the organisation generally. In terms of building the scientific mind, our knowledge about our audience in radio in general, I think something that came out of the Shirab meeting that Karina mentioned, is very sparse. But we like to think that those people who have access to radio, those who are interested enough to listen, are hopefully getting something out of listening to programs that we make. Therefore, hopefully we're contributing to lifelong learning in the developing world as well as in the industrialized world, for those who are listening, and hopefully making a contribution to building the scientific mind.
Thank you so much, Laura. One of our youngest participants wants to remind us of the time. Was you? Want to ring the bell? Can you? Does it ring? Ring it. There you are. It's time. It's time, and we are over to the next bunch of people who hopefully will also be able to compress a little bit their discourse.